This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ما شاء الله we recited some ayat in the salat and I wanted to talk a little bit about them in the time that we have inshallah at least the first one anyway where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said at the end of surah number 59 towards the end of it at least where he has said after we say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad wa taqullaha inna allaha khabirun bima ta'malun where Allah has said O you who believe have taqwa we talked about taqwa the other night didn't we we talked about that I wonder who remembers what taqwa is that's what I said it's part of that I'm going to do a recap of what taqwa is It's okay because it makes the lecture a bit longer, right? Taqwa is, as far as I'm concerned, best translated by Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, who said, Taqwa is four things. Al-Khawf min al-Jalil, so he's right, the brother has said fear. Fear of al-Jalil, which is one of the names of Allah. وَالْعَمِلُ بِالْتَنْزِيلِ and to obey what has been sent down to us. Meaning the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So, when Allah sent these things to us, when Allah sent these revelations, I should say, to us, they are not just a list of nice suggestions. If you want, they are the manual for how we should be living here. So, when we say things like, that's only Sunnah. We shouldn't really say that. Only sunnah. There are certain things that are obligatory and certain things that are not. But we shouldn't refer to something as only sunnah. Because Allah continues throughout the Quran by saying things like, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Whoever has obeyed Allah and His Messenger, لَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا He has achieved the highest success one could possibly hope to achieve. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا When they believe like you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they are rightfully guided. So saying things like, it's only sunnah. Really, it shouldn't be said like that. Certain things are obligatory, and certain things are not. That's fine, and we can say that, but we shouldn't degrade the sunnah or belittle it by saying things like that. So part of taqwa is, وَالْعَمُلُ بِتَنْزِيلِ To obey what has been sent down to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْرِضَاءُ بِالْقَلِيلِ And to be pleased with the little that you've been given in this life. Everything that you have is little. You could have the biggest house in Guyana if you want, mashallah. And if you can do that, and it's halal for you, and it is what it is. Awesome, do that. May Allah put barakah in it for you, and make that house a source of benefit for people that you know wish to benefit from it. At the same time, know that it's a little. Because if you live for 100 years, you will eventually die. And the largest house in Guyana, or the largest house in Canada, or the largest house in the world is not going to stop that. So billions of dollars isn't much if you're eventually going to leave it behind you. So being pleased with the little that we've been given is part of taqwa. Number four, وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ And to be prepared for the journey that is to come. Which brings me to that ayah again, where Allah has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ To be mindful of what you put forward for yourself for tomorrow. Not tomorrow necessarily meaning Sunday. Ghad in this case means the day that you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day that you will come in front of Him. And we need to be mindful. We go to, many of us go to school in North America for decades, because we hope to attain degrees so that we can get jobs that will benefit us until we are old. If we should get old, was actually the thing is, but we do that and we spend a lot of money and we go into extreme debt. And then when you come out of university, mashallah, and I'm not saying that university is bad. I wouldn't say that necessarily. I don't think it's for everyone. But I don't say that it's bad. When you come out of university, you are not guaranteed a job. You're guaranteed a degree that says that you know as much as they think you know, so that you can get a PhD. To some people, that means pretty high debt. MashaAllah, you spend $80,000 to get it. Some people say permanent head damage. That's my personal favorite. I like that one. Right? And people work really, really hard to do that. And again, I'm not saying it's bad, but understand that this kind of thing should be added to your work towards Al-Akhirah as well. So if you're studying for 5 hours a day, or 6 hours a day, getting your permanent head damage, mashallah, then at least give some time throughout the week to do something that is beneficial to the people. So that you're putting something forward for the sake of Allah in terms of how you're benefiting others. And those who don't have, it's not about money necessarily. It could be if mashallah you have that. But if those who don't, okay, the thing is, those who have jobs can contribute money. Those who don't have jobs can contribute time. Right? Because they don't have jobs, so they have a lot of time. And that's okay. Time in some cases is more valuable than money anyway. Money can be replaced. Time cannot. Time is the only currency that you have that depletes every second of every day until finally it is gone. It never comes back again. It will never be, what is today? December 3rd? Or Rabi al-Awwal number 3 or number 2? It will never be that again. Ever. Of this year, I should say. Next year, inshallah, if you should live to see it, it will be here again. But it will never be the year 2016 again. Ever. It will never be 1438 again. In the Hijri year. Please let it be 1438. Is it 1438? I don't want to get that wrong. It will never be that again. Alhamdulillah. So when you take your time and you put something forward for yourself, for tomorrow, know that you're putting it forward for the sake of Allah with a good intention, inshallah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly, and this goes for the wealthy of us, and this goes for those of us who are not so wealthy, this goes for every single one of us, with eyes, without, with ears, without, those who walk and those who have wheelchairs, whoever it is, Allah said to us, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you put forward for yourself, for yourself. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم. See, that's the thing. A lot of people will think that if I do charity work, it benefits other people. And it may do that, mashallah. If you give someone $100 and they go eat from it, they've benefited. Is that right? But, thank you brother. One person said, yeah. Jazakallah khair. So, if they benefited from it, you have benefited from it so much more. Because what if that person, look at it this way, you give them $100. They go and they eat something. Then, they're on their way to the masjid. They go to the masjid, they learn something from the Quran, and they practice it for the rest of their lives, and they teach it to their children. And their children teach it to their children, and so on and so on. Who is the one who fed them before they went to the masjid? You are. So you benefit consistently until that person leaves the earth, because you've fed them. And without that, they might not have been strong enough to go to the masjid, they might not have been strong enough, and Allah knows best. So yes, they benefited once, but you benefited multiple times because you're helping this person move forward with their lives. Someone may be contemplating suicide. May Allah protect us all from that. And for some reason, they come to the masjid and they meet you. And you just say something to them that benefits them in some way. Or you just give them a small word or a smile, and somehow Allah opens the heart of that person. Have they benefited? They've benefited, right? Because it may change their lives in a certain way. But you benefited so much more because you may not know what that person is going through. And then Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, and that person comes to you and says, remember me? You say, nope. I was at the masjid and you said something to me and it really changed my outlook on things, and I was thinking about taking my own life, and you changed that with the permission of Allah. Be very, very careful of what you put forward for yourself for tomorrow. And the opposite can also happen. Someone can come to you and need something to eat and you pass them away, and that can be a really big deal. Or someone can come to you and he's contemplating something, as I said earlier, and you say a bad word to him somehow, maybe his beard's too short or whatever, ridiculous, and he just goes, you know what, that's another problem I have. And he goes, and we should never think about that, but at the same time, always be mindful of what you put forward for yourself for tomorrow. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. That Allah is better at reward and tremendous at reward. أَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. So this is the whole point of us being very careful as to what we put forward for ourselves for when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we will meet Him, undoubtedly. There's no doubt about that. It is a day where in the time of it, according to the Quran, is 50,000 years. Yawm al-Alf, 50,000 years, Yawm al-Qiyamah. You live for 80 years, like I said before, 90 years, and it's a long time. 50,000 years is the day of judgment. But then Jannah, inshallah, is forever. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah is ever aware of what we do. And the next ayah, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like the people that forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. We have a number of stories of young people back home that have, for lack of a better word, flipped out. And they did something that took them to a place that they would never ever want to be at. I have a brother, I don't mention names, but he told us to mention his story. And he was a little bit of a gangster. Just a little bit. MashaAllah. And some people then took money from him. They stole some, or they borrowed some money from him, and they wouldn't pay the money. So he went up to the building, to the apartment building, with his little gun, right? Starts waving his little gun around in the air at people, threatening them that he's going to do some damage if he doesn't get his money back. Now, he said that his gun wasn't loaded. But there was one bullet left in that gun that went through the wall of the apartment and killed one of the neighbors and injured another one of them. And he did 14 years because of that. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like the people that forgot Allah and Allah made them forget themselves. Sometimes we do things in anger. I said it the other night that one of the signs of the muttaqin is they control their anger. We do things in the heat of the moment sometimes, and it makes us go way, way far, far beyond where we ever wanted to go. Try your best to constantly be in a state where Allah's name is remembered somehow. If something happens to you, or us, let's say it that way, and the first word that comes to you is a cuss word, there's a problem. Alright? Like, if you're backing out of the masjid or you're driving out in your car, and someone cuts in front of you, the first thing you say is, you fill it in, I'm not gonna fill it in. What would happen, I'm just saying, what would happen if you're driving a road, you know, right here, mashallah, and someone cuts in front of you and the word you say is a cuss word and you hit that person and you die. Do you want that to be your last word? Really? What was his last word? Well, it starts with I'm not going to say it in the message. They won't bring me back if I say it. Even though half of them say it themselves, they won't bring you back. Right? Do you want that to be your last word? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَمْسَعَمْ فُسَمْ Don't be like the people that forgot Allah and Allah made them forget themselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ They are the criminally negligent people. May Allah help us to not be like that. Because it becomes so normal for us to say these words nowadays. It's normal. So if you call out someone, and it could be anybody. I mean, I've heard imams use bad language before. I got my days. I ain't lying. I go through airport security all the time. May Allah help us all. Because we use that excuse. Well, it's normal. Yeah, but that doesn't make it right necessarily, does it? Just because something is normal, that doesn't make it right. It just makes it normal. Maybe we should be abnormal and try to control that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you guarantee me two things, I'll guarantee you Jannah. You guarantee what's between your two jaws, that you protect that, and you guarantee what's between your two legs. You protect that. If you can do that, I can guarantee you Jannah. Watch your mouth, Abdul Malik and the rest of us. Because you don't want that to be your last words. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. Don't compare the people of hellfire with the people of paradise. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of paradise are the successful people. Truly successful. Do y'all get MTV here? Huh? You get Cribs? They show Cribs in my show? Brothers who lives in Canada know what the show Cribs is, right? Cribs, if those of you who don't know, it's a show where they go to different hip-hop musicians' houses and they walk through the whole house and they find out what's in their freezers and what's in their basements and what they have in their cupboards and the different things that they have in their houses, and they look at all the different decorations and all the different stuff that goes into that house, the swimming pools and the whatever, recording studios and movie theaters and so on and so on and so on and so on. And people look at that and they say, man, I want something like that. Which is normal. As human beings, we always want more, don't we? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the only thing that will keep the son of Adam quiet is the dirt in his grave. We always want something. If you have a mountain of gold, you're going to want two. If you have a beautiful house, you're going to want two. You have a beautiful car, you're going to want two. You have a beautiful wife, you're going to want four. I mean two. Sorry. I'm not an exception. You want all these things, mashallah. But then we look at the person who maybe is a generous person. And you would think that that person is rich because of how generous they are. And I know people like that. They're very, very generous. And you look at them and you think, man, oh man, this person must be rich. But then you go to their house and you find out that they don't really have a house at all. They're renting a little small place and, you know, they don't really have that much. Car is a little bit mash up. And you feel bad. You think, man, like, he should have more. But he's okay. His family life is okay. His wife is okay, hopefully. Maybe the second one is okay too. Brothers love when I talk like that, see? Sisters don't like it too much. Brothers laugh. Only the single brothers laugh, though, not the married ones. Sisters, just so you know. So, we think that success is big houses and big cars and big pool tables and swimming pools and all this stuff, when it really isn't, because I told you earlier that eventually you will leave those things. And again, if you can get them and they're halal, please do so. I'm not one of the people that tells you to leave off the dunya. I'm not. I'm just telling you to have a balance. Because you hear brothers doing that all the time. You hear khatibs and imams back home will tell you that you should leave the dunya. You shouldn't value the dunya at all. And then they have the biggest collection box you've ever seen in your life because they want you to give them some of your dunya. I will never tell you not to have things. Never. But I will tell you balance it. Balance it. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, some of them were extremely wealthy. To the point where it took caravans to distribute their wealth when they died. Caravans. So they were not people that just sat under trees and, you know, did the dhikr all the time. SubhanAllah, 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 SubhanAllah. They didn't just do that. They worked really hard, but they had a focus, and their focus was the next life. Don't think that these rappers and these hip-hop stars are the meaning of success, because they're not. Most of them, their lives are horrible. Horrible. And a lot of their stuff, according to 50 Cent, which is about what he's worth right now. You get that? Did y'all get that? That was a good one, right? According to him, he said all his stuff was rented. So, he doesn't even... Of course, I think that's a lie. But he doesn't even own this stuff. He wouldn't lie, would he? You think? 50 wouldn't lie. Rappers don't lie. Except when they talk. So, this whole thing of owning these big houses, a lot of times they don't even own the house. I remember years ago, I heard that Kobe Bryant, basketball player, bought an island for $13 million. And at the time, I was friends with a basketball player that you may know, older brothers may know, it's Hakeem Olajuwon. Y'all know Olajuwon? NBA player? So I said, mashallah, man. Because I was younger, I was, you know, in my 20s and stuff. So Kobe Bryant bought a $13 million island. And Hakeem said, yeah, well, how's he going to take care of that when he doesn't play ball anymore? I said, what do you mean? And he broke it down to me. He said, a $13 million island is probably going to cost about $1 million a month to maintain. He's not going to make that once he retires. He's going to be spending it, though, every single month. The taxes on it and all the different, because you pay a lot of taxes for things back home. So he said that to me. And then I said to him, I said, you know, money must be really evil. Because I was a kid. I was a young brother who, you know, was learning stuff. And he told me, and he broke it down to me again. And I'm going to share what he shared with you. He said that money isn't evil. Money isn't good or bad. But it gives you the ability to be good or bad. So what do you mean? He said, if you have a lot of money, and you want to do a lot of good for a lot of people, then you can. And he said, and if you have a lot of money, and you want to do a lot of bad for a lot of people, you can. But the money in and of itself doesn't do anything. And I thought that was a real balanced way of looking at things. Money just gives you options. But don't think that this place is only success. Should I tell you the story about the dunya again? Were you all here when I did that story? Should I do it again anyway? Should I? Brother said no. You said no? No. Oh, sorry. He said yes in Arabic. He said no. That would have been cool. That's honest people right there saying no. He wants to go home and lash roti and stuff, man. He don't want to be here. But he didn't. He said no. He said yes in Arabic. So, the dunya is kind of like this parable. And it's a parable that I learned when I was in Australia. And I'm going to share it with you again to kind of hammer the point home a little bit. Let's pretend. You want to pretend? Like you're in grade 3? Do y'all have grades here or standards? Huh? Great? No one's answering me here at all. What do you guys have in school? Standards or grades?
Grades.
Grades. There, my goodness. I'm not asking y'all to do push-ups. Grades. So let's pretend we're, you know, little kids and someone comes to you and he says, listen, I have a shopping cart. Is that what they're called here? Shopping carts?
Yeah.
Shopping cart. Some places call them buggies. So anyway, that sounds like something, anyways, something else. But you have a shopping cart and it take you to this warehouse and the warehouse is full of everything that you could want. MashaAllah. The latest everything. And he says to you, this is your shopping cart. You go through this warehouse and you take everything that you want. Everything in here is free. We love that word, free. Free sabilillah. Fi sabilillah. We love it. So you have to go through the shopping cart, through this warehouse with a shopping cart, take everything that you want. You have 2 minutes to do it. How much did y'all take in 2 minutes?
Brother, I would take the whole place in 2 minutes.
He knows how much he could take in 2 minutes. MashaAllah. You think you could take a lot in 2 minutes? Running through the, dashing through the store? In a one horse open? No, that's a different thing. That's the funniest thing I heard. I heard it when I was here and I heard it when I was in Africa too. Dashing through the snow in a one horse open sleigh. Ain't no snow for miles in this country. It's gonna be hot Christmas Day, I'm pretty sure. And you don't dash through snow either. You get stuck in it. Brothers who lived in Canada know very well what I'm talking about. Remember when I was in Kenya, they played the song on Christmas Day. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You better keep dreaming. Because there ain't nothing white around here. No snow. I'm the only white guy for miles. The only thing white in this place is me. And if you're dreaming about me, you need to be dreaming about something else. Anyway, you could take a lot in 2 minutes, couldn't you? I could talk a lot in 2 minutes as well. There's another condition though. While you're in this warehouse for 2 minutes, there's some pictures hanging up. You can't look at them. You good? Is that okay? Take whatever you want, 2 minutes, but you can't look at these paintings. Now we're human beings. Your 2 minutes starts now. First thing you do is what? Look at the paintings, right? That's even Adam did that. Allah told him, don't go near the tree. Went right there, him and the wife. Kicked out of Jannah. That's how it's what we're like. We're people. We do the opposite of what we're told most of the time. Most of the time. Some brothers will come to you and say, assalamu alaikum, and they hate you. Peace be upon you. And you're looking at him with bad eyes. Can't do it. I used to be able to do it. There, that's it. Right there. SubhanAllah. Complete opposite. So the first thing you do, brothers, is look at the paintings. The first painting you see up is your nicest house you could imagine. Nicer than any MTV crib house. Gold tiles and bricks and all this decorative stuff. All these different colors. I'm a blind person, I don't know what colors are. All these different chandeliers and what? Wow. And you look at that and you wish you had it. And the next picture is of a beautiful vehicle. One of them nice cars. Imagine the nicest car you can think of in your life. Spinning rims, right? Low rider. All the different stuff that you like. I don't know what y'all like. Four wheeler. I drove a four wheeler when I was here. Drove a truck through the woods. I did. I got video to prove it too. And if the police ask me, I don't have video to prove it. But I did. Imagine that. Blind guy driving a car. You said, wow. Because it's something you do every day. We don't do it every day. Hopefully. I'm waiting till I get my hands on a horse cart before I leave from here. I'm gonna drive that too. I drove a speedboat and a truck since I got here. MashaAllah. Imagine the most beautiful vehicle you could possibly imagine. You're looking at this painting and you turn to the third one and it's the most beautiful spouse you could imagine. MashaAllah. Beautiful wife, beautiful husband for the sisters, and you're just looking at that. And then all of a sudden he comes and taps your shoulder and says, your 2 minutes are up. You ain't take nothing. Nothing. Cart's still empty. Remember how a brother could take everything in 2 minutes? Everything is there still. His cart's empty and his 2 minutes are up. And you complain, you get mad. Say, bro, but I didn't take anything. So I don't care. You had 2 minutes like everybody else. And you looked at the paintings, didn't you? Just like everybody else. You're in a place right now. You're in a warehouse, if you want to look at it that way. A huge warehouse where your shopping cart hopefully isn't empty. Hopefully not. But if it is, and you're hearing my voice, you still have some time to collect as much good deeds as possible and put them in that shopping cart. Whatever it is that's in your ability, don't worry about what the millionaires are doing. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about what the people who have more than you are doing. Because they may not actually have more than you. You don't know what they have, actually. You know what it looks like they have. But you don't know what they actually have. Like 50 Cent said, he rented everything. He didn't even own it all. You look at that life 10 years ago, and you see all the big houses and pretty girls and shining cars and jewelry and everything else. And now he's saying he rented it all. He didn't own it. It was all an act. Well, Jannah isn't an act. Jannah is for real. اتقوا الله وتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد. Be mindful of Allah and be cautious of what you put forward for yourself for tomorrow. Because amanu, faith and good deeds go hand in hand. Faith without good deeds is only talk. You can say that you believe in Allah and that's okay. That's good. Because that's success right there, inshallah. But if you're not doing nothing with it, then what is it? If you don't have anything to do during the day, then volunteer somewhere. You'd be surprised what happens when you do that. That's how I started doing this. I would give small lectures, just little. I would listen to Imam Siraj Wahaj. You know who he is? Imam Siraj from the States, from Brooklyn, New York. I would listen to him when I was a brand new Muslim. And I would listen to something that he said and I liked it. So I had a group of brothers who were about my age that I made friends with. And I would just talk to them about what I heard. So yeah man, Imam Siraj said this and that and the third and fourth and whatever. And they would listen to it and I would talk about it. And the Imam of the Masjid heard me doing that. And he come to me and he said, listen man, can you say that in front of the rest of the people? I said, no. You crazy? They're all older than me. I'm not going to talk in front of them. I said, no man, just 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And I love the Imam, so I felt really shy to say no to him again. So I did that. Little 3 minute advice, or a little 3 minute talk. Slowly but surely, those little 3 minute talks turned into 5 minute talks. And I would listen every day to something and learn something every single day. And then the brothers would, who knew more than me, but who didn't have the ability to speak like I did, would correct me if I went sideways on some things. And say, no brother, it's the hadith is like this, or no, the ayah is like that. And they would correct it. And I would take note of that correction and I would repeat it, but with the correction involved. So throughout time, eventually, I had enough material to give a khutbah. 25 minutes. 25 of the scariest minutes of my entire life. So I get up in front of the people and I have my notes and I'm doing this. You know, you shake your arms, you start, because you got to read, I got to read dots, right? I got to read Braille. And I can't read the notes because I'm so scared. And there's no people, there's only about like 8 people in the building anyway. 9, maybe 10 people. There isn't that many people. I hope. I mean, I didn't see them, so I'm guessing. They're quiet like you guys, so they didn't make noise. So there wasn't too many people. And eventually, I just got so tired of my notes that I just took them like that and I threw them into the crowd. Just threw them. All papers went sideways in every which way. And then I just spoke from my head. Kind of like what I'm doing now. Time goes by and I end up doing that. About once a month. And alhamdulillah, I get more confident. I still get scared though. And I end up moving out of my city, and I end up doing all these different stuff. And to make a long story short, that little small, little advice turned into me traveling on every single continent and being able to come here. Be very mindful of what you put forward for yourself for tomorrow, because you never know where it's going to end up. I never would have thought in 1,000 years that I would be speaking professionally. I was so scared of public speaking when I was a kid that I would actually fail classes because of it, on purpose. I would just go, okay, there's a book report today. I would just go and stay in the washroom and stay there until the class is done. Take the zero. I was so scared that the teacher used to ask me to read my report to her only, and I wouldn't do it. Still scared. Still get nervous. Sometimes if I give the khutbah, I actually get dizzy. I'm on the minbar, and I always hope that the minbar has railings, because the whole room does this. Get dizzy. SubhanAllah. But now it's for a different reason though. I'm not afraid of the people anymore. Only thing I'm afraid of now is not doing justice to the message. So be very, very mindful and try to do something. Find your place, whatever that place is. If you wash windows, then do that. Wash the cleanest, make the masjid the cleanest windows in the city. If you're good with your hands and you can build things, then build things for the masjid. If you own a business and you don't have time, then allocate some of that income towards something, towards a dawah program. If you're good with your voice, if you can shoot your mouth off, then get a microphone and get involved. That's what I do. If you're good with audio, if you're whatever it is you're good with, websites, internet, something. I know y'all got internet here because I've been using it. Alright? No place that got no internet. MashaAllah. If you're good at something, if you grow vegetables, sell them in the market and get some money back to some poor person that needs it, or give them something. Do something. There's no way that you can't get involved. There's no way. I know a brother who, in Toronto, he's in a wheelchair. He caught pneumonia. And he's paralyzed from the neck down. And he scares me. I'll tell you why. Not because any other reason, except that every single khutbah that I give, he listens to it as if I don't know what he does with that. But he pulls me aside and he corrects me. When I'm wrong, he corrects me. My pronunciation, my Arabic, my makhraja, my letters, he corrects them. If he can help in a wheelchair with both arms and both legs gone, paralyzed, what about us? It's not time to be lazy, because you will meet Allah very, very soon. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. In any case, it will be soon. So be very mindful and very cautious of what you put forward for yourself for the sake of Allah. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. You will find it with Him. And Allah is not like an employer who will rip you off. Allah will give you more than what you did. He will give you more than what you did. But zero times zero will always be what? Zero. What about 1,000,000 times zero? Zero. Right? Is it zero? It's zero in Canada. Is it zero here? 200,000,000 times zero is zero. So nothing will always be nothing. Do something. So that the people around us get to see the beauty of Al-Islam. From what I see, these people here are good people. Generally, they're good people. I haven't met a bad person since I got to the country. You don't want to come on Judgment Day and say, well, the boy knew about Islam, he not tell we nothing. He lash out with China and eat all with curry and he not tell we nothing. You don't want that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show the people. If you can't tell them, show them. Dawah isn't necessarily done with microphones. That's part of it. But the best dawah that you can give people are good manners. And then when I come here next time, inshallah, the place will be rammed up full of people. Right? Good manners are really the best form of dawah. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Who am I? I'm just a white guy from Canada. These are the people that you live with. And if you think it's impossible, you know what impossible is? What's impossible? Impossible is a very big word for a very small mind. Jazakumullah kullu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Speech on. App switcher. Closing settings. Voice memo.